Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe, and this week we're going to talk about training for the time poor. This came up on Twitter the other day. I was talking to someone and they were saying they work full time, they had small kids and they were wanting to train for a marathon, but it just seemed like there was not going to be enough hours in the day, and what were some things that they could do that was going to make it plausible for them to train for a marathon. How much time you need is really a kind of how long is a piece of string type of question, because it's really about how much time do you want to put into it. Because regardless of whether you're training for 5k or 10k or 21 or a full marathon, you can do that on high mileage or low mileage. So last week I ran 92 kilometers, which seems like a lot for half marathon training, but I am following a high mileage plan, and that is what I'm doing, and that's what I enjoy doing. So it's not something that I would do if I didn't enjoy it, and it's something that I've built up over several years. So if you go back a year or two ago, it would have been more like 40 or 50 kilometers in a week. And it's just something that you can't really rush it. You just slowly build and build and build. But a lot of people wouldn't enjoy that much running. And if they did do that much running, it would either end up in an injury or just not enjoying it anymore. And so really, it's all about what you're going to enjoy. And so when people sort of are looking at different distances that they could train for, I like to start with, what are you going to enjoy training for? So even aside from the mileage, there are questions about, you know, these are the type of workouts that are going to happen in marathon training that aren't going to happen in half marathon training, aren't going to happen in 5k training. And these are the kind of sessions that are in 5k training that you probably won't see in marathon training. And look at that and see if that's actually something that you are going to enjoy. But aside from that, I mean, you could easily train for pretty much any distance with a couple of runs a week. You know, I think that most people probably feel more comfortable with three, and, you know, people can run four or five or six times a week as well. It really is what is going to suit you and sort of what is going to make you feel like you are achieving everything that you want to achieve and not make you feel like you're constantly behind the eight ball. Like if you are looking at a four session a week plan and you're constantly stressing about where that fourth session is going to go, you are so much better off going, I'm going to do 3 days and feel like you are ticking all of the boxes and you're getting everything done. And then you always have that option of an extra run if you want to, but you're not feeling like you're constantly falling behind your plan. But you can also keep in mind that how much running you do will also sort of determine the level of improvement that you are going to see. Like some people are really fast improvers, so it wouldn't take that much and they could probably almost do anything and they'd improve. And with other people, they are much slower to adapt, so it takes a lot more to see those changes. So if you are someone who is looking to take a big chunk off your PB, then you are probably going to be looking at more sessions rather than less sessions. But all things being equal, you can look at what you want to do and you can pick something that's going to fit within your lifestyle. But even so, marathon training specifically can be a challenge to fit in because the long runs are so long. When you're looking at doing a long run on the weekend or whenever it is that you are doing your long run, and it's probably like not in the beginning, but it's going to peak at around 3 hours, 3.5 hours. If you're doing it based on distance instead of time, you're probably looking at 30 to 32 kilometers. So it is a really big chunk out of your week when that is all in one hit. And when you've got a lot of other competing demands, fitting that in and other sessions through the week is something that's really challenging. And a lot of times people will look at that schedule and go, I don't think that I can fit that in to everything that I've got going on in terms of, you know, taking the kids to sport and getting all of my work done and, you know, like what are everything that I need to do at home and all that. And that is something that you definitely do need to carefully plan around. So one of the main things that I do to get all of my runs in is I do a split run during, on days when I have CrossFit. Anyone who follows me on Strava probably has seen this. I will get there before CrossFit and I'll run 4 or 5 Ks before. And then depending on what I got on for the day, I will run, usually it's about 8 Ks afterwards. Because what that does for me is if I was attempting to go to CrossFit and then run 12 or 13 kilometers afterwards, I don't have time for that because I got to get home and I got to get the kids ready and everything like that. And if I don't run on that day, then I got to run when after I drop the kids off at school, and then all of a sudden that's an hour and a half or 2 hours out of my work day that I can't really afford. So by splitting it up, I get up a little bit earlier, but I always go to bed a lot earlier on those on the nights before I get up that early. And I actually quite enjoy it because then I'm warmed up for CrossFit. I'm sort of more awake. And it also means that I'm breaking up the run too. So it's sort of like I'll do 4 here and 8 here rather than 12 all at once. Now, the biggest question that people have about split runs is, well, if you don't do it continuously, is it as effective? And probably people often have the same question about, like, if you are out on your long run and you, like, stop for water or to go to the toilet or you stop to take a picture or you stop for traffic or whatever it is that you do, is that as effective as, you know, just being completely continuous? And the answer is that very little research has been done on it. But the research that has been done suggests that the physical effects of your training are exactly the same if you split them up and if you have breaks in between as if you do it continuously. Probably the one thing I would say is that it can be a shock to the system if you are always breaking up all of your runs like that when you then go into a race scenario and it's completely continuous and mentally you're just not prepared for that kind of continuous activity. So if that's the case, you would probably be looking at planning in some walk breaks into that race to kind of like to essentially do what you did in training, or have some sessions where you say, yep, this is, I'm going to start my watch or start my app or whatever it is that you're using, and I'm just going to go and I'm not going to stop it or pause it until I finish. And so that will mean that there'll be periods of time where I'm walking and, you know, or I might, you know, stop to have a drink of water, but I'm not actually going to pause. I'm just going to like go the whole time and sort of treat it more like a race type scenario. And then have other sessions where it's a lot more relaxed and it's like you want to stop, you want to pause, you do whatever you want, because I think that's also important. You've got to have that balance between the part of the running that is rejuvenative and the part of the running that doesn't feel like a chore and the part of the running that is fun. And for a lot of people, a lot of that is, oh, I want to stop here and I want to take a picture, or I want to, you know, stop here and, you know, I'm going to like scroll through all the podcasts that I want to check out and see what's going to happen next, whatever it is, you know, not having this feeling like you are sort of like in a race type scenario running to a clock, you know, for every single session. But it's good to sort of go into those sessions knowing what you are hoping to get out of it, so it's not something that you sort of go in so that, yep, this is going to be my continuous run, and it slowly morphs into not your continuous run because you get a little bit fatigued or you get a little bit tired. And, you know, that will happen, but it's just about training your body to be in that zone for a continuous period of time, and that will involve at points walking, and that's okay, and that you don't have to stop every time you need to walk. And I think it's important to keep in mind too with split runs, like even if you are, if you've got like a really big run, say, you know, like a 30k run, and you've decided to split that up and do 15k's in the morning and 15k's in the evening, you are not fully recovered between those runs. So you're still simulating your long run, you're just doing it in two sections. And a lot of times when people start split runs, they're kind of surprised that they feel more challenging than what they maybe thought they would have, because your body isn't used to that. You know, it's not used to kind of going, oh yay, I've run 15 kilometers, and then, you know, like in the afternoon you're like, wait, what, we're doing it again? So it's not sort of a cheat or an easy way out, because split runs have their own challenges, but it is a great way to squeeze the maximum amount of time out of your day to get the runs that you need to get done, particularly if you have specific things that are going on, or you have a partner who is also needing to get out and do things in the morning or in the evening, and you need to coordinate with them. Generally, I would only use split runs for either a long run or an easy paced run, not a quality session, like an interval session or something like that, because that kind of defeats the purpose of the interval session, because there's a certain amount of accumulated fatigue that you're going to lose if you break up those intervals. But luckily, those interval sessions are usually significantly shorter, so you can do them on the days when you have less time, and when you have a slightly longer easy run, you can, you know, split those runs to make it easier on yourself. And the next most important thing after the timing is really just the planning that goes into your food, because particularly I think less and less as you train for, you know, get past having done your first marathon. But I remember when I was training for my first marathon, I was like, I was exhausted and I was starving all the time. And one of the things that will happen is if you are tired and super, super hungry, you are just going to eat whatever you can get your hands on. And usually the quickest thing that is going to sort of like fill that void is something that is carb dense, but it's not nutrient dense. And so you never really feel satiated. So you just eat more and more, which isn't great for your nutrient levels and what your body needs and for recovery and everything else. So I think that things that I've developed doing over time is always have a bit of a food prep day on Sunday. So I always have meals in the freezer that I can have, so I'm not there going, there is nothing here that I can eat. And also sort of like snacks that I can go to through the week as well, to also just help myself along through the week, because there are going to be periods of time during the training week where I do not have the energy to cook, and I want to make sure that that all of those options are there when I need them. And at the moment, although I'm not marathon training, I am doing a significant amount of hours through the week. So what I will tend to do too, if I'm at home and I'm cooking myself lunch, I'll just cook double and I'll put half in the fridge and I'll have that for dinner or the next day, and it does not take me any longer to cook double the food, and then that's just another meal that I don't have to worry about and I don't have to cook. I think probably the final thing that I would say in terms of working training in things for the time poor is just how creative can you get with when you do things. So is it a possibility to, if you live close to work, could you run home from work, or could you run to work, or could you go for a run for half an hour during your lunch hour? Or could you, if you're going to the gym, could you run to the gym and then back home if it's, you know, close enough that you can do that? Or even like the other day I was trying to wedge in a weight session in between when I dropped off the kids at school and when I had to be back at school for the book parade, but I also had a couple of other things to do. So, and at the moment, because the weights are relatively heavy, I have about 2 to 3 minutes in between each set. So I just took out the washing with me, and when I was in between sets, I was just hanging that out. And it's a really small thing, but it just means that I'm maximizing that time rather than separating those things out and going, oh, I don't quite have time to do this weight session because I've got to hang out the washing and all of that sort of stuff. So you can get quite creative with the time and just work out little ways that you can get it in, whether that's sort of like running laps around the oval when the kids are at sport, or whether that is just sort of piggybacking a little bit of extra running onto other things that you do. So it's not like you're taking a whole extra hour to go for a run, but you might be finishing off your PT session and then you add on 20 minutes for, a run after that. And so there are ways of wedging all sorts of things into your schedule. And I think the final thing is that marathon training can be quite challenging because you never do that distance in training. It's very different to the shorter distances in that way. So you never have that sort of confidence boost of knowing that you have done it before, unless it's unless you're training for a second or a third or whatever marathon. But for the first one, you don't actually know that you can do that, and to not ever run past a certain point in training is really challenging to get your head around. And because of that, it can lead you to believe that you need more training than you actually do. And yes, you have, in an ideal world, you'd have 4 months of training, you'd have, somewhere in the vicinity of 3 to 5 quite long runs under your belt, and you would have all of that huge aerobic base that you have built over those 4 months that is going to make the run fun and enjoyable, and you are going to be ready to deal with that sort of level of fatigue that can kick in, in the last sort of 10Ks of the marathon. And there's a reason why they say that the marathon starts at 32Ks, and that's the sort of unknown zone, and that's sort of like where you find out like what your body's capable and where you're at. But even in a situation where you haven't done everything that you would like to have done, you are more than capable of running a marathon. You are capable of running it with far less distance in your long runs. And really, those long runs are about teaching you mentally that you can do it, because physically, you're pretty much going to have it covered anyway. I'm not suggesting that you like go out and run 5Ks and I'm good to go and run a marathon now. But for most people who do marathon training, there has been a significant base building exercise over a period of months, and missing 1 or 2 or 3 long runs, or even more than that, or having a period, a month out, where you can't train for whatever reason, people think that it's more detrimental than it is, because most of that is about training the mind to believe in what the body can do. So you can also go into your training plan for marathon training and just look at it and say, I need less than this. This is for my mind, not so much for my body. And in a lot of ways, you are far better off being at the start line fresh and slightly undertrained than you are at the start line fatigued and overtrained. A marathon is a very kind of intuitive training process, and you've got to sort of monitor how people's bodies are responding to the stimulus quite carefully, because what you want is somebody like bouncing with energy. And what can happen very easily, if there's too much load, you can get to that point and it just still tired. And particularly because a lot of popular marathon training plans have, you know, like maybe a 3-week taper. And for me, I would always prefer to have like probably more like close. It depends on the person, but probably more like 5 weeks, really, because there's just so much that needs to happen for your body to fully recover and fully bounce back from all of that training that you've done. So if you end up having something happen, you know, in the month before a marathon, it really doesn't matter because all the work has been done. And if you're doing less than what you plan to, well, that's just a bonus because it's extra recovery time before you get there. Thank you for joining me. I will be back next week. And if you would like to join us for the Whole Life Challenge, which starts in September, early bird prices end on the 30th of August. So if you want to, can either, if you did it last time and you'd like to do it again, you can do that. If you didn't do it last time but you would like to try this time, you can do that too. It is an 8-week program. It focuses on 7 habits, and we have an Operation Move team which you can join. And being on that team also means that there are prizes for the people who come top 3 in our team. And the habits focus on things like nutrition, sleep, hydration, lifestyle practices, reflection, movement, and mobility. So if that's something that you think you'd be interested in, I will link up all the details and you can check everything out, and we will have a private Facebook group for that as well. But it is an app-based thing, which makes it handy because a lot of it goes through through the app. And if you have any questions about the challenge or anything that you'd like featured in the podcast, you can either email me, which is zoe@operationmove.com.au, that's Zoey, and you could also pop into the community group, which is just facebook.com/group/opmove, and just ask any question that you like in there too, and I'll speak to you next week. Bye.